The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Extravaganza. Hope you guys are doing good today, wherever you might be. Wow, do we have a great show for you. We have a lot happening all over the country, and we're going to get to all of the big stories. We're going to be talking to some Georgia lawmakers who are fighting the good fight against Coca-Cola, and they have officially banned Coca-Cola products from their offices. We're going to be talking to those lawmakers a little bit later on today. Also, we're going to be sharing with you the very latest information about the decision by Major League Baseball. So they have decided to stand in solidarity with the black community of America by removing the All-Star game from a predominantly black city to a predominantly white city in a state that has actually stricter voter ID rules and regulations than the state of Georgia. So we're going to be getting into that story a little bit later on today. Also, we want to welcome two of our brand new affiliates. And Grace, I know you didn't even make it home last night. You were so exhausted. You just took
a
nap. Collapsed in the parking lot. Somebody put a blanket over you.
Yeah, and then they brought me Chick-fil-A later.
And there were a few dollar bills I just thrown about. I mean, people felt bad for you.
Yeah, it was a busy day yesterday.
Well, I think you spoke to the entire city of Gainesville, Georgia.
I did. Very nice people.
Great people.
Just a ton of people to talk to.
Well, we're very excited because, again, WDUN, our brand new affiliate, launching this week, noon to 3 Eastern. Also, we're very excited to welcome KROF, which is our brand new affiliate in Lafayette, Louisiana, down in Cajun country, and been down there a time or two. Good people down there. And so here's what we're doing all week to celebrate our brand new affiliates, KROF and KPEL, which is their sister station in Lafayette, along with WDUN. Callers from all three of those radio stations, Grace, are going to get a prize package if they make it on the air today.
You're trying to keep me busy this week.
Oh, you are going to be busy this week.
And then also the person that sends out the books will be very busy next week.
It's going to be a busy week here at the Todd Starnes Radio Program. And you know what?
Generous people.
And they're worth it. We have the best listeners in all of talk radio.
Well, that goes without saying.
And the most attractive.
Attractive?
From the book signings we do, all the people coming up, we got a good-looking audience.
Well, that helps, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you.
It's nice to, be smart and have good looks.
Which, sad to say, most liberals do not. And I don't mean to judge. I don't mean to judge. But you're better off with a good-looking conservative lady. That's all I'm going to say. Our telephone number for you folks in Lafayette and Gainesville and all across America, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. There's an interesting poll that came out yesterday, not getting a lot of attention, but I find this to be very, very interesting. According to a new Reuters Ipsos poll, an overwhelming majority of Republicans believe that President Trump should run for re-election in 2024. Also, an overwhelming majority of Republicans believe that the 2020 presidential election was, in fact, stolen. That same poll also finds that six in 10 Republicans 6 in 10 Republicans believe the president should not only run again in 2024, but they also believe that the president's going to win. And I think there's something to that. I've been looking at the lay of the land. And aside from Ron DeSantis in Florida, I don't see anybody out there who is generating the excitement, the enthusiasm that Donald John Trump still is able to generate. As a matter of fact, there are some rumblings that President Trump could very well be back out there on the campaign trail holding these massive rallies, the Make America Great Again rallies. I think it's a terrific idea. I think the country is demoralized. I think the country is frustrated and tired and aggravated with the Biden administration, and I think they want to feel great about America. They want to feel great about themselves. And if you've ever been to one of these Make America Great Again rallies, you know that it is a festive time. It is a joyous time. There are no gloomy gusses at Trump rallies. And I think this is terrifying the Democrats. This is why the mainstream media cannot quit Trump. As a matter of fact, little Brian Stelter, remember the Dwarf King over at CNN, the most profane name in news, and little Jimmy Acosta were going at it over the weekend, talking about how the reporters were literally suffering from post-Trump stress disorder. Take a listen.
I'd love to hear from both of you how D.C. journalists are adjusting to the Biden era. Jim, this is your first weekend anchoring here on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. Do you feel like your rundown, your lineup is really different than it would have been in the Trump years?
When you're asking me if I was run down, I thought you were referring to how I felt during the Trump era. No, I think that, you know, listen, I think we're all dealing with some post-Trump stress disorder, other than that happy Easter, as he was saying in those statements a few days ago. Listen, as Annie was just saying a few moments ago, you know, there are questions about why aren't Republicans getting on board with these Biden proposals. There were Republicans who were getting on board with overturning the election just a couple of months ago. And so we shouldn't have high expectations for that. But in terms of stacking shows and what comes first and what comes second, you know, Brian, you and I both know this all too well. We did cover the news before Donald Trump came along, and we did it pretty well. And, you know, there's going to be plenty of stuff in the news out there, and it doesn't have to have Donald Trump in the headlines for us to continue to exist, especially when he's putting out these statements. You know, when he was president, he was doing things that were beneath the office of the presidency. Now he's doing things beneath the office of the post-presidency. Mm. He's not going to change, but we need to change with the times.
Right, he's
thank you my colleague little Jimmy Acosta. Thank you very much. How did this guy get a job? How did the Dwarf King actually get a job on cable television?
Hello, I'm Brian Stelter, and my job is to watch Fox News Channel 24/7 and report on their shenanigans.
I mean, this is what Brian Stelter does for a living. It's unbelievable. He's a grown man. Married man with children. And little Jimmy Acosta, nobody's heard of this guy anymore. When they got rid of him, they booted him out of the White House press briefing room. And now the guy is, I mean, I think Shepard Smith has a higher profile than little Jimmy Acosta. And that's not saying a lot.
No, Todd, why would you go after Shepard Smith?
All right, enough of you, Dwarf King. So there you have it. The mainstream media is still suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. And it's a sad thing because it is an affliction. There is no cure. And clearly, little Jimmy Acosta, the Dwarf King, many others in the mainstream media, Don Lemon, and the whole gang over at MSDNC are suffering from the late stages of TDS. And it's a terrible, terrible malady. But again, I'm curious to hear from you about the 2024 election. It is, people are starting to move their chess pieces around. And a lot of people thought, well, maybe Kristi Noem out of South Dakota was a contender. I don't think that's the case, especially after she decided to take a pass on the transgender legislation. Again, when you look at the lineup, the only person I see, I don't see Ted Cruz going the distance. Do you? Maybe Ron DeSantis is the guy. But even then, I think you're going to have some sort of a force of nature running against the Democrats. And it's probably going to be Kamala Harris. No telling when she's going to take over for Joe Biden, but I would suggest any day now. But this is a fascinating poll. 6 in 10 Republicans, by the way, believe the election was stolen. And that's the same number who want the president to run in 2024. Also, a majority of Republicans, or half of Republicans, rather, half of Republicans are not buying the mainstream media narrative of what happened on January the 6th. And I'm surprised by that number. I'm surprised that that many Republicans are actually paying attention to what's really going on. And that encouraged me. That number encourages me because that tells me that the rest of you are not buying this either.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, and we all week we are celebrating our two brand new affiliates, Gainesville, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, and also KROF in Lafayette, Louisiana. Now, the Gainesville crowd, you guys have pounced on the phone lines, but we would love to hear from our Louisiana listeners, our brand new listeners in Louisiana. Give us a call. All of our Louisiana listeners get a great prize package all this week, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We have some breaking news about Major League Baseball, and I've got to share this with you. It's unbelievable. Major League Baseball is throwing President Biden under the bus. They have just released a statement. There's been such chaos, I mean, surrounding the All-Star game. It's a debacle of biblical proportions. So now Major League Baseball released a statement. I want to read this in part. The decision comes after Major League Baseball announced last week it would relocate the All-Star game and draft from Atlanta in response to the passage of a Georgia law that President Joe Biden recently criticized, saying it will restrict voting access for residents of the state. So there you go. Major League Baseball, they're throwing it on President Biden. They're eating each other, folks, and it's a delicious thing to watch. Well, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. A good friend of this program from the great state of Texas, Congressman Chip Roy. Hey, Congressman, how are you today?
Well, I'm blessed, Todd. It was great to have a good celebration with family over Easter weekend and know what life's all about. But, you know, got a little bit of a mess in this country. We got to all work to try to clean up.
Well, this is true. And it's so good to see Texas taking the lead there. The governor saying we're not getting into the vaccine passport business. And then last night, that huge crowd at the Texas Rangers game. I mean, that is really sending a message to the rest of the country.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, I'm certainly glad to see everybody showing up, although, of course, you know, throwing dollars at Major League Baseball right now is not exactly what I'm looking to do. But I'm glad to see people, you know, out and about and avoiding this, you know, COVID panic. And I'm very proud of Governor Abbott, you know, making sure that people know not only what you just pointed out, but also he said he's not throwing out he wasn't going to throw out that first pitch out there at the Rangers game, you know, as kind of a pushback on Major League Baseball. But very much agree with him on the COVID passport. There should be no such thing. We shouldn't honor any such thing. We shouldn't even acknowledge any such thing. I'm glad Governor DeSantis did that in Florida. We are a free people, and we should be able to free to move about, and no government's going to be checking what I've had or not had in order to get on an airplane or move about this country.
You know, Congressman, we've been paying very close attention to what's happening at the border, and we talk about this president wanting to finish Barack Obama's fundamental transformation of America. I think that's going to happen if we don't do something about the hundreds of thousands of people crossing that border and living here in this country illegally.
Well, look, what's happening at the border is unconscionable. It's endangering American citizens. It's endangering the immigrants who seek to come here, and it's empowering cartels at the expense of our long-term safety and security. I was at the border a week ago this past Monday. I spent the night down there in the evening, well into the morning hours, saw about 50 migrants myself, talked to them in my broken but functional Spanish. One little girl was 7 years old, Todd, 7 years old by herself, had been met with one of the boys who was there midway through Mexico. He looked like he was, you know, maybe taking care of her as opposed to harming her. But Lord knows, given the percentages of abuse that we know occurs when this cartel-driven illicit organization running people through Mexico for profit. That's what's happening. That's what's happening at our border right now. And it's reaching up into Texas. Let me give you an example that I want all of your listeners to hear. I was talking to the district attorney of Bernie, Texas, a suburb of San Antonio. It is a little ways away from the border, but obviously San Antonio is about 150 miles from the border. And the DA told me that they stopped a car. It had five illegals in the car. It was driven by an American citizen who was an employee of a cartel. We think the Cartel del Noreste, which is attached to Los Zetas, or it's a faction of Los Zetas. And they were taking these five individuals to a stash house in Houston where they were going to be put into human trafficking. I'm talking slave labor, maybe sex trafficking, for sure slave labor. One of the boys that we were able to talk to had paid $4,000 to come work at a vineyard in California. He was surprised to learn he was being taken to Houston. This is happening every day. Violent cartels with far-reaching tentacles into the state of Texas, into our nation. This is purposeful by Democrats in a political play. They're using these people as pawns, and they're endangering citizens, empowering cartels, harming our nation state neighbors to our south, all for their supposed political gain. It's crass and it's wrong.
And Congressman, for our audience, you say they're being used as political pawns. What is the end game here? What is the Democrats' end game?
Well, look, clearly what they're trying to do with obviously relaxed voting and making it difficult to check with signature matching and everything else, and they want to be able to register voter in the census and everything else. They want to count folks regardless of your citizenship. They want people to be able to come here and be able to vote. And they want to get people. You saw people with Biden t-shirts coming here. They basically want to buy votes, which, by the way, is illegal. They want to buy votes. They want to have people that are buying into whatever they're selling and tell them that they're going to be able to get free stuff by coming to this country, which burdens our schools, burdens our healthcare system, and frankly endangers lives, both Americans and immigrants who want to come here. Democrats are doing it for political purposes, political pawn. That little seven-year-old girl, a political pawn, a pawn of Biden, a pawn of AOC. AOC wants to go down and talk about toilets and drinking water toilets. It's a lie. Not true. It was a separate part of the device, which we used in all of our facilities. It was a lie, purposeful. They want to talk about kids in cages. It's a lie. But now what do they want to do? They want to ignore these human beings being used as political pawns for their purposes so they can advance socialism, so they can sell compassion and tell people they're going to come here and get free stuff while they're endangering human beings in the process. Talk to ranchers in South Texas getting overrun. Talk to sheriffs in counties that have had high-speed chases. Talk to people with fentanyl and dangerous opioid addiction. And talk to people, the cartels, that are literally killing peoples and members of families and then showing them pictures. I've got DAs who have talked to me about real-life examples. This isn't just watching freaking El Chapo on some, you know, cool TV show at 11 o'clock at night. This is real, and it's happening in real time, and Democrats do not care. You're listening to me. Democrats do not care. They want political power, and they don't care about your safety, security, and they don't care about empowering cartels.
Unbelievable. And Congressman, we appreciate you standing watch over the border and bringing these stories to our attention. I mean, people need to know about this. They need to know what's happening down there, the real story, and they also need to understand the results, what's coming down the pike here. Congressman, got to leave it there. We got to run for a break, but thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for the opportunity to come on.
God Absolutely. All right. Congressman Chip Roy, great American patriot. And it's despicable what these Democrats are doing. But, folks, you need to understand, we're not talking about a few hundred thousand. We're talking about millions of illegals that are invading this nation and violating American sovereignty. We're talking about illegal aliens who are not taking jobs away from white-collar America. They are taking jobs away from blue-collar America and a certain segment of the blue-collar population, those on the lowest end of the pay scale. They are taking jobs away from poor Americans, putting them into poverty. And this is not going to get fixed until we get a Republican in the White House and until we get a conservative majority in the Congress. Not a Republican majority, but a conservative majority in the Congress. All right, 844-747-8868. We've got time. I want to squeeze in a phone call here before we go to break. Let's go to Cabot, Arkansas. Earl is listening to us on KARN. Hi, Earl. What's going on? Hello, Earl. All right, we'll get back to Earl later. In the meantime, we are going to take a break here. Again, our phone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
You know, I'm not a big Justin Bieber fan, but some of you out there may be, you know, you may be, what do they call them, Beliebers? Is that right? They call them Beliebers. Thank you, Kyle. Anyway, Bieber is taking on the cancel culture mob, and anybody who takes on the cancel culture mob is a friend of this radio program, so we may have to get some Justin Bieber music in the mix here as a show of solidarity. We've got the story up. Caleb Park, our managing editor of our website, has the story. Justin Bieber takes on the cancel culture, and you can read that right now over at toddstarnes.com. All right, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always great to have with us our good friend, Congressman Ted Budd. Congressman, how's it going today?
Todd, great to have you back. I had one of your great guest posts last time. Good to be with you. And you're making me do something I never thought I would do, and that's saying I'm a new Justin Bieber fan.
We are breaking news here on the Todd Starnes radio program. You know, Congressman, though, one of the things that encourages me, and Bieber's not really into politics that much, but it's nice to see a lot of these liberals in Hollywood, and again, liberals, not leftists, but liberals, really understand what's at stake here with this cancel culture mob.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of goes back. There's kind of an old saying, a writing, and it says, you know, they came for them, and then eventually they came for me. And it kind of goes down through, you know, it was everybody else. And they realized that this mob, it eventually, no matter who you are, it eventually comes for you. And they're like, hey, this is too much. And we got to draw a line somewhere. And I'm glad that some people that, you know, maybe are in part of the Hollywood crowd, but they're saying, we got to stop this. So I'm glad that there's some moral courage in some unexpected places. We sure need it. You know, you look at things that are supposed to be, what's more American than apple pie and baseball? And now you've got things that are politicized, like Major League Baseball moving an all-star game from Georgia due to an election bill. This is completely ridiculous.
And, of course, you guys were the victim of that early on with the NCAA and basketball and the bathroom situation there.
Yeah, we were. I mean, that was, I was running for a federal office at the time. That was a state issue. We're like, hey, let's just have a discussion here. And, you know, people fall in different places with that bill. But we need to at least be able to have honest discussions and at the end of the day, agree where we need to and disagree where we need to. But you got to set a platform where people can have a discussion.
You know, the thing that really concerns me, Congressman, and I want to talk about this infrastructure thing in just a moment, but this, what they're doing to Governor Ron DeSantis, CBS News intentionally omitting things from a story. They got caught. Even the Democrat mayor of Palm Beach, Florida is calling them out, says he's appalled. And you've got the president, Joe Biden, who is knowingly misrepresenting and honestly lying about the Georgia legislation. And it's this idea, I think at the root of this is the idea that, well, everybody has their own version of the truth, and that's what matters.
Look, you know, I was reading in a center-left D.C. News source in Politico yesterday, and they're saying, all right, when it comes to Georgia, this may even lead to more voter turnout, and the complete opposite of what those who claim suppression on this. So this actually could unlock more people getting to the polls rather than having, you know, one Sunday where people can vote. There's two. I mean, there's a few specifics in there like that they went over, but I think people really need to look at the actual law rather than being all up in arms. This is a form of the cancel culture that we let off with, and I think it's quite shameful. You know, Georgia and the state legislatures, these people are widely voted in office. We realize it is a red state with a horrible perfect storm of an aberration back on January 5th. But look, let's not have the chaos of the 2020 election repeat itself. Let's have the people properly represented.
So let's talk about the infrastructure plan that the Biden administration wants to shove down our throats here. The great reality is most of the money allocated does not go to infrastructure.
Imagine that, Democrats claiming one thing and it actually doing another, or naming a bill one thing and actually doing another. It seems to be their basic MO about how they do things. I think less than 30% here. I mean, when you go to specifics, less than 6% goes to roads and bridges. Less than 2% goes to waterways, locks, dams, ports, and airports. And 5%, now this is huge for my district since it's pretty rural. Less than 5% of it goes to even broadband. You know, we need real hard infrastructure, our country. I think we all agree with that. And as this is something even President Trump talked about, that we needed an infrastructure bill. The number he floated was $2 trillion, but he's talking about real roads and bridges, things that can help grow our economy like we were already growing. And this is just infrastructure, but there's hardly any in it. You know, this is about Green Deal priorities, Green New Deal priorities, making electric, you know, subsidies for electric vehicles when the market can't support it. Fine if you want an electric vehicle. I think, you know, they're great if you want to drive a Tesla, if you can afford it. But, you know, we're not wanting to put $174 billion, of taxpayer money to support that. Retrofitting homes, $100 billion to decarbonize the energy grid. Come on, this is not real infrastructure.
Congressman, how concerned are you that the average American is going to see their taxes going up?
Well, I'm 100% concerned. And you're going to see it in expected ways and unexpected ways. You know, if you're part of a company, you're going to see corporate taxes increase by $1.5 trillion. 80% of the jobs come from small businesses. So you're going to see it either on a pass-through, or you're going to see it directly from companies. But the invisible costs are what are such a concern to me. You're going to see a lack of growth in wages because so much is being siphoned off in taxes. You're going to see a lack of growth in jobs and investment. I mean, you're having a tax structure that's going to be worse than China. Communist China has a 25% tax rate, and now we're going to have a tax rate of 28%. You know, I've got some numbers in front of me that says we're going to lose 159,000 jobs. I think that's an optimistic number. And again, it's those invisible costs, lack of growth, lack of opportunity that you don't see on the face of it that are going to be so expensive to the future of our country.
You know, Congressman, when I was living in New York City and I was there for 15 years, I was dealing with not just the federal, but we had a state income tax and a city income tax because you pay for the privilege of living in New York City. I mean, my tax rate was hovering around 35-36%. Coming back home to Memphis, Tennessee, where we have no state income tax, it's just like, you know, you're in a windfall here. I mean, it's just unbelievable the tax rate in some of those states like New York, and I shudder to imagine what it would look like if that spread across the country.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for reminding me that you actually had the quote-unquote privilege of living in New York. I was actually in that elevator with Chuck Schumer. This is probably, you know, 2 years ago now, all pre-COVID. And after the pleasantries, he said, tell me about your state. I said, well, Senator, they're leaving high-tax states like yours and coming to great states like mine. You know, I think he got the joke there. You know, that, look, people are leaving states like New York. They're actually going to lose when we reapportion according to the census and they draw new lines for members of Congress. New York's actually, for the first time perhaps ever, going to lose a seat in Congress. California, another high-tax state, going to lose a member of Congress. And they're going to be adding them to other states that are growing, states like Florida, states like North Carolina, because we've got much better policies and people want to live here. So, I mean, it comes at a real cost. People want to get out of these high tax environments and go where they can be free. I mean, when you take money away from the government and put it into people's pockets, you increase people's freedom. And that's where people want to live. That's why people are flocking to Florida right now, either permanently to live, you know, or even just to vacation for a while, because they can actually be free and make their own decisions.
Well said. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. By the way, I was traveling through North Carolina a couple of weeks ago, and I got to tell you, I found a new restaurant. Are you familiar with Biscuitville?
Oh, am I ever. More than I should say.
Holy cow. Wow. Great food. So I'm going to have to make more detours through the Tar Heel State.
Well, we need some diversity from you. We need you to visit Biscuitville and Bojangles while you're down here. And then there's lots of other small places with some home rolled biscuits, and you know we'll get up early and get some fresh ones for you.
Love it. All right, Justin Bieber fan, Congressman Ted Budd on the Newsmaker line. Congressman, thanks a lot. Now,
thanks, Todd.
All right. They do make good biscuits, so I'll tell you that much. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. Here's the deal. We're going right to the phones. So we have a line open, 844-747-8868. We've got Leon and Vay, James and Richard. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
You know, we are on a constant journey for the truth here on the Todd Starnes radio program. And if you believe the mainstream media, you believe little Chucky Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, where every hour is happy hour in that office, if you believe those folks, you would think that the lawmakers in Georgia and the folks in charge of the elections down in Georgia are making people suffer on election day. If you were to believe the mainstream media, people are literally in the state of Georgia dropping dead of starvation and dehydration in the voter line. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, after weeks of research and investigation, our team has found no evidence that anyone, at least in modern American history, has dropped dead of starvation or dehydration while standing in a line to vote in the state of Georgia. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball has decided that, you know what, we're leaving Atlanta, we're going to take the All-Star Game, and we're going to send a message to Black America. We're going to send a message to the minority community. And we're going to take the All-Star Game, and we're going to disenfranchise thousands of Black business owners in Atlanta, in a majority Black city, and we're going to take the All-Star Game, and we're going to give it to Denver, Colorado, one of the whitest cities in all of America, pale as pale can be, in a state that has a voter ID law that is actually stricter than the state of Georgia's. Now, I'm not a liberal, I'm not a leftist, but I got to tell you, that does not sound very woke to me. Meanwhile, in Georgia, thank goodness we have Republicans there in the state house who have backbones of steel, and they are willing to take a stand, a controversial stand, and many of them are leading the charge, announcing boycotts against Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola. And one of the individuals who will no longer have Coca-Cola in his office is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We have State Representative Victor Anderson with us. Victor, good to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Well, we have a lot of listeners across the state, and they are pretty riled up about what Major League Baseball has done, what the Democrats are doing, and, I mean, they really are smearing the good people of Georgia.
Well, you know, and that's, you're absolutely right. We see it, we hear it on not only local media, but now national media, a lot of mistruth, a lot of misinformation. And people just aren't doing their homework and actually reading the law, reading the bill that we passed. And then you're absolutely right.
I'm wondering what your reaction is when you hear from the White House they are lying. The president of the United States is lying about the voter ID law there in Georgia, and they refuse to correct the lie. They refuse to acknowledge and apologize for what they're doing.
Well, and you're right, and you know it's kind of interesting that a not so conservative friendly news media has given the president four Pinocchios, and I think that's that's definitely the first time in his presidency, but it's the first time since, since the hate Trump times we had over the last few years have been that that's happened. And but ultimately, it just does not meet the narrative that they're trying to do, and that's the whole point of the situation. The narrative is incorrect. The narrative is false, and it's based on talking points rather than facts.
Now, Mr. Representative, I want you to take us through the thought process. I mean, many of you and many of your colleagues decided, you know what, no more Coca-Cola in our offices.
Well, and thank you for asking about that, because it's not a huge group of us at this point, but we are getting a lot of support. We share, there's eight of us who share an office suite at a building adjacent to the state capitol. And the eight of us were talking over the weekend. Todd, I represent the beautiful 10th District of Georgia, which is in the northeast Georgia foothills of the Appalachians. I'm also a businessman. We don't do politics up here. We treat each other the way that we should treat each other, and we conduct business the way it should be conducted. As a businessman, I have a showroom full of product, and if I have a manufacturer who is running around talking about what a bad businessman I am and how poor customer service I offer, I'm pulling their product off my showroom. The same thing goes for my office in Atlanta when I'm there serving. We're part-time legislators, so when I'm there serving, if I have constituents, if I have representatives of industry or whatever come to my office, at this point, given the tone and the rhetoric that Coke has chosen to follow, it is not morally correct for me to set somebody down and say, here, would you like a Coke or a Coke product? So we've made the decisions ourselves. The Coke product and the coolers that they're in are provided to us by Coke. We are appreciative of that. And have been up until this point completely appreciative of that service, but we just kindly ask them to remove them, and then we will provide our own refreshment.
Well, and that is a noble thing you have done, and I know a lot of people around the state of Georgia and really around the country respect that. I am curious, though, about how you are refreshing yourself, Mr. Representative. Pepsi there in Georgia, I know that's heresy, so I know you can't drink Pepsi. What are you doing? Fresca? RC Cola?
We're getting a lot of recommendations, Todd. RC, of course, was founded in Georgia many years ago, and that is definitely a recommendation. We do have some Pepsi product. Personally, I drink water and coffee more often than not, so we actually finished session last week, so we're most of us are back home in our districts performing our full-time jobs and duties and representing our and working with our constituents right now. So it's not a big issue for us, but it's something that we are evaluating. I'll be honest with you, Coke has had a 135-year history of cooperation with the state of Georgia, doing business here, founded in Atlanta. As far as a corporation, they're a major player in Georgia, and we hope to goodness that they actually will look at the tone of what they've said and compare it to the reality and the fact of what's in Senate Bill 202 that we have passed and now has been signed into law. And I would love for them to come back to us. I actually have heard that in one of the national news sources, there was a quote from one of their representatives that they would love to sit down with some legislators and talk about their concerns. Well, we're extending that olive branch. You know, we'd love to hear from that, either if it's not with us directly, the House leadership would love to know what it is in this bill that gives you such problems.
And I'm wondering, you mentioned you were back in the district. What are you hearing from your constituents there? And I've been in that area. You're absolutely right. It's one of the most beautiful areas in America, that Habersham County area. What are folks saying there?
The majority of the comments I'm getting from my constituents and the people here are extremely supportive. Glad that we are standing up to, now, first of all, we're a lot of things, kind of like ballot drop boxes. We have never done ballot drop boxes up here. Sunday voting, we didn't know that was a thing until this past election and all the controversy came up. So maybe we're a little behind the times, but we're a little different. And the people up here are just proud that we have as a legislator through passing this bill, and then this small group of my fellow representatives through this, this relatively small, and we never intended for this to get out and become a national news item, but we are standing up for what is right and standing up for the values that we are sent to Atlanta to represent.
Well said. Well, sir, we appreciate you coming on this program. We appreciate the great work you and your colleagues are doing, taking a stand and doing what President Trump encouraged us to do, which is to fight back.
Well, thank you, and I thank you for your support. You and your listeners really help out when we're down there, constantly being pounded from the other direction. It's good to get a little balance.
Oh, we got your back on this program, sir. I can promise you that. Victor Anderson, who is a state representative from the state of Georgia, one of those boycotting Coca-Cola, no Coke products allowed in that office. Sir, thank you very much for coming on the program. And you heard there, I mean, I guess it was, we tried to offer him some different alternatives there, but he says he's a water and coffee guy. But, Grace, I was going to recommend, I don't know, Fresca, root beer. Abita Springs root beer is a great root beer, by the way.
You know, I do like root beer. Root beer is pretty good. Mellow Yellow is pretty good.
Mellow Yellow is good. If you want to go to the ginger ale, you can go to the Schweppes if you want. But anyway, I that reminded me, back in the day when Coca-Cola first got to, how people got hooked on Coca-Cola?
I have heard
this
story.
It was cocaine was one of the original ingredients, and that's why everybody got addicted to the stuff.
That's crazy.
And clearly, the folks over at Coca-Cola are snorting the cocaine if they think this is a good idea. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. When you have people in Georgia switching over to Pepsi, you've lost the argument.
It's true.
It's over.
The apocalypse is here.
Unbelievable.